the shadows, you can hear the sounds. The rumble of a hundred hellhounds. Cries the banshee, terror of the wind go. You all they can't see, they just know where to go. It's the creature.
Welcome back to another exciting episode of Supernatural Creatures and Lore for 2025. I am your host, Dr. Chris.
And I'm Mel Heflin, his co-host.
Hopefully you checked out our first episode of 2025, which was about kitsunes and how terrible they were on the show, which had nothing to do with the actual legend. We'll see if Osiris matches up better.
Let's find out.
We'll see how well Osiris matches up. Which is the MacGuffin of this episode, the villain of this episode is Osiris. And Mel has the plot synopsis for us.
This episode was season 7, episode 4. Its original air date was October 14th, 2011. Sam and Dean investigate a string of gruesome murders and discover the Egyptian god Osiris, guest star Farron Tahir, is behind the deaths. The vengeful god is putting people on trial for their past mistakes and killing them if found guilty. Osiris hones in on Dean's guilt and decides he's the next to stand trial. Sam steps in as Dean's lawyer, but both brothers are unprepared when Osiris calls an unexpected witness. Joe. Such a good episode.
Osiris, yes, Joe, who got killed off in season 4, right?
Yes.
Yeah, with her mother Ellen, who I'd met. She signed my season 2 box set. Osiris was the Egyptian god of afterlife, fertility, and resurrection. And he was associated with agriculture and the Nile River. I remember Osiris being heavily used as a villain as well in the Stargate TV series, because Stargate pulled a lot from Egyptian lore, if you ever watched Stargate.
I have not.
Yeah. Did you ever see the movie with Kurt Russell?
Stargate?
Yes.
No.
Oh. Why? It's
because
incredible.
Because I get the luxury of missing out on all the cool media while I'm on remote locations around the U.S.
Stargate's about 30 years old this year, by the way.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, happy birthday to it.
Came out in like 1995. 94, 95, so. Osiris comes from Egyptianology. What do we know about Osiris? I mean, it's just like the one Osiris, right? There's not multiple Osirises through across multiple religions and stuff.
I believe that he was at least mainly an Egyptian god. I don't think that he was shared anywhere else.
Okay.
So he was the god of the deceased. He was the oldest child of Geb, the earth deity, and Nut, the sky goddess. His wife and sister was Isis, the goddess of motherhood, magic, fertility, death, healing, rebirth. I feel like a lot of these gods in Egypt mythology and, you know, various mythologies, they sort of share, you know, there are multiple fertility gods, multiple death gods. But here it says that Osiris and Isis were deeply in love with each other, even in the womb. Fascinating. So as you mentioned, he was the god of fertility, agriculture, the afterlife, the dead, resurrection, life, vegetation in the ancient Egyptian religion. He was classically depicted as a green-skinned deity with a pharaoh beard, partially mummified, wrapped at the legs, wearing a distinctive Atef crown, and holding the symbolic crook and flail. He was one of the first to be associated with the mummy wrap. When his brother Set cut him up into pieces after killing him with her sister, this, that's Osiris's wife, Isis.
Nefertiti?
Searched all
Wait,
over...
is it Neph? Hold on. Slow down. Is it Nephis or Nefertiti?
Nephthys.
Okay. Let's look up how that's actually said on Google. Maybe they can help us say it phonetically.
Nephthys.
Okay. Yeah, that sounds about right.
Okay. So, when his brother Set cut him up into pieces after killing him with her sister Nephthys, Osiris's wife Isis searched all over Egypt to find each part of the missing Osiris. She collected every single one except one piece, Osiris's genitalia.
Yikes.
She then wrapped his body up, enabling him to return to life. And Osiris was widely worshipped until the decline of ancient Egypt during the rise of Christianity in the Roman Empire. So he was essentially like a zombie pharaoh.
Wow. 3,000 years ago, people used to worship this guy, if they don't still worship him. That's unbelievable. 25 BC, 25th century before Christ. Is an incredibly long time ago.
I have a lot on Osiris. This guy was very well loved. Osiris isn't the original pronunciation. Speaking of pronunciations, that was the Greeks westernizing him. The original pronunciations were believed to be closer to Asar, or Asar, or Osir, or Wisar. Usar or Usire.
Okay.
It's so funny how you get Osiris from Wasir.
Right, gotcha.
There were annual ceremonies that were performed in honor of Osiris in various places across Egypt. Evidences of this were discovered during underwater archaeological excavations by Frank Godio and his team in the sunken cities of Thonis, Heklerion. These ceremonies were fertility rites which symbolized the resurrection of Osiris. Recent scholars, though, emphasize the androgynous character of Osiris. Fertility clear from the surviving material. For instance, Osiris's fertility has come both from being castrated / cut into pieces and then the reassembly by Isis, whose embrace of her reassembled Osiris produces the perfect king, Horus, being their son. Further, as attested by tomb inscriptions, both women and men, syncretes, identify with Osiris at their death. Another set of evidence underlines Osiris's androgynous nature.
Okay, go on.
So, yeah, they kind of identified with him having had a, not quite a sex change, but having his penis removed.
Yikes.
Yeah. I don't know. That might have been a popular fashion back then, for all I know.
What else do you have about Osiris?
That's all I got, except for the supernatural information.
What was the supernatural information for? I don't have the season 7 book with me, so I don't have what they wrote down about it.
So for supernatural, his powers were invulnerability. The only thing that can harm him was the ram's horn. Telekinesis, the power to move things with his mind. Biokinesis, so he was able to stop Dean from speaking with a single gesture. Teleportation. Super strength. Immortality, being a god, super senses. Osiris knew Sam was present despite his attempts to hide. Telepathy, necromancy, and specifically being able to command ghosts.
Since we're dealing a lot with the judgment of Osiris here, it says online that the idea of divine justice being exercised after death for wrongdoing during life is first encountered during the Old Kingdom in the Sixth Dynasty. At death, a person faced judgment by tribunal of 42 divine judges. If they led life in conformance with the precepts of the god, Mati, who represented truth and right living, the person was welcomed to the kingdom of Osiris. If found guilty, the person was thrown into a soul-eating demon named Amat and did not share an eternal life. Recently, I was playing Silent Hill 2, the video game, and you have to go around collecting these different coins, or not coins, these weights for the judgment of what looks like a mixture of what's the woman who holds the scale called that you see in court?
I will look that up. And this is Egyptian mythology?
No, this is the woman you see when you go to court. She's holding the scale and she's blind.
Oh, isn't she Blind Justice?
Blind Justice, yes.
Yeah, because justice is yeah.
Right, justice is blind. But there's definitely some allusions in the Silent Hill 2 game to Osiris and, you know, the judgment as well. You have to line up then the different poems to the crime that was committed and determine who would be guilty enough to get the noose.
Wow.
Yeah, and if you choose wrong, you fall into a pit and you have to fight a bunch of monsters and crawl your back way up or whatever until you choose the right one.
I like it.
It takes a long time to complete this level just because you do have to go through different parts of the prison and, you know, find these little weights or whatever you needed to in order to release the sword, which is the sword of Pyramid Head. Pyramid Head, of course, is the big antagonist of Silent Hill 2, and honestly, anyone who's ever played it should not be an antagonist in any other game. He is primarily only connected to Silent Hill 2. I don't want to give away why, but when you play it and you've beaten it, you know exactly why. It doesn't make any sense for him to show up in any other game other than like, oh, we got to market something to make toys and t-shirts and whatever. You know what I mean?
That sounds right.
Yeah, if you ever watch the Silent Hill movie, it's like, why is Pyramid Head in this when the other person he's connected to is barely in this film?
Oh, that movie was so rough.
A lot of people are hardcore fans of the games are really kind of hate that, but I digress. With Osiris, much of the information about the rites of Osiris can be found in the Ikherofret stela, erected at the 12th dynasty, possibly a priest of Osiris and other officials. Ceremonies performed in honor of Osiris occurred all over various parts of Egypt. Evidence of these ceremonies were discovered underwater archaeological excavations by a guy named Frank Godio and his team at the sunken city of Thonis, Heraklion. This comes from the Mysteries of Osiris at the British Museum, which is apparently where they have like a lot of the tributes that you can find in statues of Osiris. The British Museum is got a large collection of, you know, ancient Egyptian artifacts and tributes.
Yep. So Osiris was one of the few deities to be dressed with their epoch clothes in the Supernatural episode.
Yes. Does he look like the way you think he would in this episode? Are you happy the fact that they actually cast somebody of color to play him, considering he's supposed to be Egyptian?
Yeah. There were a lot of dark-skinned Egyptians.
Right. But most of the time you think of Egyptian, you're not going to think of a white person being cast to play them.
Oh, no, never. Oh, gosh. Those history books from the 90s, what were they thinking? Egyptians were not white. Why would they do that? I was thrilled with the way that they portrayed him in the show. I thought it was very, very well done.
Yeah, I think, as close as you're going to get to it, I always find it weird that they encounter all these different kind of gods and they can vanquish them, because it's like, okay, they're a god and you're just a human being.
Yeah.
It doesn't.
I thought it was tough for me to swallow until I finished the series, and in the final season of the show, they're like, oh, they had these special gifts bestowed upon them by the Christian God. Like, oh, okay, I guess that makes sense.
Yeah, no, it's just we got to do this in a one and done and be over with it kind of thing.
Yeah.
It was interesting to see Joe come back, because there's no reason for... Honestly, the death of Joe and Ellen have nothing to do with Sam and Dean. They knew what they were getting into. They didn't kill them. They didn't leave them behind. They left them behind, but they chose to self-sacrifice, by the being killed by the Hellhounds.
Yeah, but we know that it weighs on their conscience, and isn't it something about Osiris's... his shtick was, if they place your heart on the scale and a feather on the other, if you have any guilt at all, and the heart is heavier than the feather, then you either do not go on to the afterlife or something.
I don't know. What does the research say? Because I'm not too familiar with that one.
According to the myth, after death, the deceased's heart was weighed against the feather of Maat, the goddess of truth and justice, in the court of Osiris, the god of the afterlife. The judgment determined whether the individual had led a virtuous life in accordance with Maat's principles.
Oh, okay.
And that's from the EgyptianMuseum.com.
Apparently the writer of the episode, Adam Glass, found it really difficult to write this one, as he had completely no interest in Osiris, and trying to write for an Egyptian god just didn't come across more than the stagmatic, like, he's going to be the judge of something in this episode. He really apparently wanted to infuse the episode with a lot of Egyptian lore, but he didn't have any real knowledge of Egyptianology to not make it just come across as, like, they're half-assing it and they're coming up with what they need to make the episode work. Apparently, by the way, when Sam and Dean salt and burn the bones of Elizabeth, it's completely reused footage from another episode, because Gene's wearing a jacket he no longer owns.
Oh my god.
So, yeah, one of those, unfortunately. But that's all the notes I have here about Osiris.
Yep.
Mel, have you ever been in something with Egyptians and Egyptian gods, Egyptian pantheons, for any kind of movie?
It's an absolute, probably, surprise, but I don't think so.
By the way, did you know Osiris is mentioned in one other episode?
Really?
Yeah, season 14. It's revealed to Castiel that after it's revealed by Cast that after God abandoned heaven, Osiris was considered for the job of the new judge of souls. However, he passed over in favor of his son Anubis. And Dean makes mention that they did meet Osiris once.
Hmm. Oh, and we did see his wife Isis appear in season 5 in the Hammer of the Gods that we just covered recently. But their relationship in the series was never actually, like, stated, but, in mythology, they're married and siblings.
It's also funny that Osiris is one of the very few deities to show up in the entire show dressed like the way he would be in the lore in real life. Most of the time, the deities show up, they're in business suits. Or it's like, a god is a slob like one of us with Chuck.
Yeah, the business suit thing always got me.
Yeah, it's like, seriously, we couldn't walk over to the Disney set of Thor and borrow something for any of the Norse gods that showed up on this show?
Right. Something.
Yeah, I mean, at this point, when, like, they got around to doing the Hammer of the Gods, and they had, like, Odin and stuff, like Thor, the film had already been out, so you know you could do something like that. You don't have to completely rip off Disney, but still,
it would have been so much better. Just something.
Something is better than just not doing anything at all and just putting people in suits. When the demons started just becoming like lackeys in suits, it was like, look at that, it's the demons in black. Ugh, Men in Black reference.
Yeah.
So
I think
so
that's
terrible.
Why I appreciate Osiris so much in this episode, because like his depiction is so well done compared to all the business suits. Lackeys.
Definitely. Well, you can find us over in the Supernatural Creatures and Lore group, or you can find us on our individual Twitters at ChristySAV.
Or at Mel Heflin.
Or you can send us an email, thatradiofar@gmail.com, for any comments and questions about this episode and what we've talked about. We're not 100% experts in the lore of Egyptianology, absolutely at all, but, you know, it was still a character that hadn't been on the show that we definitely wanted to talk about. And we'll be back in about a month with another exciting episode of Supernatural Creatures and Lore here on the Radio Horror Network. Don't forget to find us on iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play, Amazon Music, and please leave a rating. Please leave a rating on any of these.
5 stars, please.
Anything that you find us that you can rate us on, please leave it a 5-star rating. If you have questions about the podcast, please send it over to us. Check out Mel's IMDb to see what she's got coming up in the world of cinema soon.
So much coming.
In the shadows you can hear the sounds, the rumble of a 100 hellhounds. Cries of the banshee, terror of the wind to go. You all that can't see